It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And wherever you are at, if you're listening today, you are in the house of God. You need to understand that. Wherever you're at, the Holy Spirit is there with you. Jesus is there with you. And we worship together. This building is just a building. The church is in the heart of every Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you that we're able to gather together as a group, Father, a group of Christians that is scattered throughout the land. But we praise your name, Father, that we can come together in one heart, one mind, to give you glory and praise this morning, in this time, in this hour. Father, we lift our hearts to you today. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, a healing upon our nation. We ask in Jesus' name, Father, a healing upon our hearts and minds. And Lord, may we as Christians be salt and light to this darkness in the world. It is up to us, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to give you glory in everything that we say and everything that we do. All these things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to start out with a reading from the beginning of Psalm chapter 20. It's Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright.
My Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer. Thank you, folks, and good morning. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you out to God's house this morning, Vine Grove Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And listen, I have a request to make to my members, the members of Vine Grove Baptist Church. I need a little help. I need a little help in a lot of things, but I need a little help in an area that's very important to me. I miss your beautiful faces. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, and all of you have my cell number. I think half the country has my cell number. All of you have my cell number. I want you to text me, email me, email to the church, go on the webpage. You'll see vgbc.net. You'll find out all the information. I want a picture of you. And I'm going to take that picture of you, and I'm going to blow it up where you're really larger than life. Not that large. But I'm going to blow it up, and I'm going to tape it on these pews that are empty in our church. I want to look at you. And I can tell that I will be able to see the expressions because I know your heart and I remember you. I know all of the little aches and pains when you shuffle on the pew, but I need your face. You go ahead and you send me through on my text line. You send it to me, and I will make sure that I get those up, and I'll have Brother Webster make sure we get a good shot to show you next Sunday if you get them into me. I need them badly because I want to look at somebody. These blank and vacant pews are hard to stare at except for I remember those faces. But now I want to see them. Send them to me if you would. Also, I have been asked by some, you know, is it okay if we pull in the parking lot on Sunday morning, and we'll stay away from each other and listen at church? Absolutely. You go ahead. You tell them, come on and nail the pastor. You go ahead and you do that. I encourage you. I want you. This stuff's gone on for a long time and can go on longer. But, folks, we need to use some common sense. Okay? Use common sense. Take care of your family. Protect your family. But again, I go back, use common sense when you're doing any of this. But if you want to drive in on Sunday morning during a worship service, I'd love to come out after service and wave at everybody. I know I'm not allowed to get close to you, but I can certainly yell loud enough out there and wave, and it would be great to see you do that. We will make sure that you have that opportunity. Also, please keep me informed of any emergency situations, anything that is going on within your family. Just text me. Call me. Let me know what I can do for you. But it is so great to have you visit with us in the house of the Lord this way. So I ask and encourage you to make sure that you listen to what, let's say, the scientists are saying, but use common sense in what they tell you, okay? As we go through our service today, I want you to remember also that we will have a whole lot of individuals that are out there that have not turned in prayer requests to me. So I, again, will encourage you to do that. I know that there's things that's going on. You do not ever bother me. I love you. Your pastor loves you to death. I want to know so I can lift you up to the Lord in prayer. Brother Randy, you know, it is very important for us as we look to our heart, that we look to the heart of each and every one of the individuals that we know and those that we don't. That's the key for us now during all of this. Look to the heart of those around you. Care. Show that caring concern to those that are around you. And remember this, Jesus truly, truly loves you. Brother Randy.
Thank you, Brother Larry. I was at Kroger's yesterday getting my weekly groceries. And something that I've noticed as I go through the store is that everybody's got a grimace on their face. But something else that I did notice is if I looked at these individuals and made eye contact with them and I smiled, they would all of a sudden, their expression would change and they would give me a smile back. Something as simple as a smile lifts the heart of man. God is in the smile. God is in our hearts. You know, we're just a week past Easter. This marks 1 week from Easter Sunday. And it's so easy to say, well, we're past Easter, let's move on with our lives. But Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, is the pivotal moment in Earth's history of all mankind. And so I want you to look with me this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting with verse 11, Mary Magdalene, along with the other Mary and other women, had went to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And this is where we pick up this story. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stopped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Now imagine the joy and the surprise that Mary had seeing Jesus alive before her very eyes. All hope had been lost. There was nothing but darkness and doubt. So much like we see today with so many people in our society. And yet, Jesus appears, and he drives the darkness and the doubt away. In Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13, we have two individuals that were disciples of Jesus, and they're walking to a town called Emmaus. And this is what happens. It says, that very day, the day of the resurrection, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Jesus may seem far away to many people right now, many Christians, and yet he's always there. It is up to us to just simply reach out and to listen, to hear, and to know our Savior lives.
When I cross over, I will shout and sing. I will know my Savior by the mark where the nails have been. By the sign upon his precious skin, I will know my Savior when I come to him. By the mark where the nails have been. But the King of Heaven can be told from the Prince of Fools by the mark where the nails have been, by the sign upon his precious skin. I will know by the mark where the nails have been. On Calvary's mountain, where they made sin was paid for a long, long time ago. By the mark where the nails have been, by the sign upon his precious skin, I will know. I will know my Savior when I come to him by the mark where the nails have been.
Thank you, folks. During our prayer time this morning, I want to continually ask you to remember the leaders of our nation. Now, majority of them, it's obvious, don't know what they're doing. But this morning, you're going to hear a message about the one who does know what he is doing. And it comes back to us as Christians, lay it before the Lord. Tell God on these folks. Now, you want something straightened out, take it to the Lord in prayer. This morning during our prayer time, I do want to remember Brother Norman McCoy and Miss Patricia as they continue to battle on a daily basis within their own life and within the problems of health and within the problems of Brother Norman and I and many of us who were ever in combat. We know the idea of waiting for surgeries and all the stuff that is going on with us now. So, Brother Norm, my love goes out to you, and I lift you to the Lord in prayer. Miss Lovell Cottrell, as always, my dear, God bless you, and I pray that God's healing will continue within your life. Rob Woosley, Thank God for you and your spirit, and ask that His special blessings be on you. Now, this morning, Wendy Chitwood, not only is a member and a dear friend and a lovely person, but I know that she has her hands full. Many times you had heard me talk about me and my mom, and during her final days, the pressure and all that goes on, and watching after those the elderly, your mom, your dad, those loved ones within your family. But now listen to me. It takes a toll. So therefore, folks, remember this. You lift these folks, these caregivers, you lift them to the Lord in prayer. And I certainly do. Wendy and her sister, they watch after their parents. Claude Kidder, I know Brother Claude still battles in his condition at home, and Marion, his wife, who is always there, always stable. Thank you for Miss Marion and Claude, and ask your continued blessing, certainly, on their life. Now, my granddaughter, Maddie Parvin, I want you to keep her in your prayers, and tomorrow is a big day. And I pray that God's will be done, and that's all I need to ask of you. Just keep her in your prayer as God touches her life in a special way. It only He can. Those who have asked about me and my condition remains the same. I guess I got a cancer in me that's growing, but I still do not have a word when they will let me in the hospital for the surgery, and that's quite a feat, I understand. I jokingly said, and this was a joke, folks, and I do make jokes quite often and look on the light side. I said, you know, I had an idea. Now, Brother Randy did not think that this was a very wise idea of me, and I knew it wasn't a wise idea when I thought of it, but it was an idea. And we've got a lot of time on our hands, and I do a lot of weird thinking like that. Don't I, Brother Webster? Yes, I do. Anyway, I thought, you know, maybe if I got COVID-19, they put me in a hospital, and while they got me in there, they just do the surgery. And Brother Randy says, that's not very bright. And I knew that it wasn't. It was just a thought. But he said, no, you have to get over it before they'll do the other. So, you know, which one are you wanting to do? Folks, I do joke about my condition, and I deal with it through the power of prayer and the touch of my Master. And my Master truly does have a touch that can change hearts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, dear Lord God, we come asking and begging in Jesus' name that as you touch our life, Heavenly Father, that you will make a difference within our life. Lord, you continually lift each of us up so we can lift one another up. Now, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you give each of us the wisdom to walk on a daily basis. Father, I've mentioned these to you in prayer, and there's many that I've forgotten. Father, thank you, because we know this. It is by the mark that we are able to live today, by the mark that only you can make within our heart. We ask your blessing now, this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who was that babe born in Bethlehem? They laid him in the manger. There was no room in the inn. He was born of a virgin. He was God's only son. The angel shouted in the night that Christ had come. Who was that man of Galilee?
who made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see. He cleansed the spotted leper. He spoke with authority. He broke the chains of sin and set the captives free.
He was so much man that he slept in a boat. Yeah, he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died. Yeah, he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well. Yeah, he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory.
Who was that man crying from the tree? Father, forgive them for what they've done to me. They placed him in a bar or two.
So much man that he slept in a boat. Yeah, he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died. Yeah, he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well. Yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God. He was so much man. He was so much man that he slept in a boat. Yeah, he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died. Yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well. Yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon that tree. He was so much God. He was so much man, he was so much God, that he rose in victory.
Thank you, Brother Randy. You know, when we talk about bringing God's message, when we talk about this is what God wants in my life, we're talking about a history that God has laid out for each and every one of us. Now, we're going to have to rebuild our life. This country is in a mess. Many, many families are hurting. Many individuals are looking for a loaf of bread. Many individuals are looking for that next opportunity to be able to go back to work. We got to rebuild. But in order for us to rebuild our life, we have to look at the life that we have. In order for you and me to be able to make a difference in this world and in the lives of our family, you and I have got to look at what it's going to take to rebuild. Don't you wait for a government to rebuild. Don't you wait on anyone else. Listen to me, family. Moms, dads, you take care of your family. How many times has your pastor told you this? Don't come until it's clear for us to get together. And if your family is hurting, Your family is hungry. Don't you dare give to this church or any other church. You take care of your family. That's how you rebuild. That's how you make a choice of rebuilding your life. Listen, Mom and Dad, those children, they're precious in the eyes of God. And God is paying attention to how you're dealing with this. So therefore, what you and I need to remember is God's still in control. Now, you never were in control, Mom and Dad. You haven't been in control. Listen to me, political leaders. You're not in control. It's obvious. And when we look around, we think, where is help coming from? Help is already here, and it's coming from the same place it has always come from. It's coming from heaven. It's coming from Christ. It's coming from the one who really cares, who's really looking at our lives and cares about our life. He's not looking for a vote. He's coming to give me and you life everlasting. Peace that surpasses all understanding. People are frightened. I understand that. No one seems to know what tomorrow is going to bring. Guess what? You never did know what tomorrow was going to bring. But God does. And God says, I want to help you. I want to give you some choices to help rebuild your life. Now, God gives each of us assignments. The first assignment God gave to me and you is called life. God assigned me to live. I do not have a right to disrespect that assignment. I'm called by God. You're called by God to do life. Live it. I give you life. What a blessing. What a gift. Breath, life. A life that can be lived not just for Christ, but with Him. He said, I'll come into you. I'll give you direction. Not only that, I want you to remember this, Larry. You will never have to walk a path that I won't walk with you. You're not going to have to go anywhere that I haven't already been. And it's clear for you. Or you're going to trip. You're going to stumble. You're going to step in some holes in that path of life. But you've got to go forward. Because I have given you life. Listen to Job 4 verse 1. We've learned something about life. Job learned the hard way. Life has a way of self-destructing. Well, we do know that when we're born, we begin to die. When you're born, you begin to die. And God says this life is a blessing that I give you. What are you going to do with God's blessing? It's going to quit living life. You're going to give up. There's enough people that are giving up, and a Christian should never, ever give up. Don't even consider it. Joke about it. Laugh about it. Cry about it. Hurt about it. Be broken inside about it. But don't you quit. You stand there, shaking, trembling, hurting. And you say, praise God, I have life. I have an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. That's life. That's living. Helping others. Making a difference. Being the little light that they need to see for that day. That smile Brother Randy was talking about. Somebody needs that today. So share it. You've given a life for a purpose. Job says, how frail is humanity? How short is life? How full of trouble? Not only have we been there, we are there. Let me read it again. Job 14:1. How frail is humanity? How short is life? How full of trouble? Yippee. Yeah, I don't have to wait for trouble. Trouble's already here. If it wasn't, I would have probably brought it on my own. That's called life. So deal with it. Focus on the Christ that has given you this life. You're here for a purpose. Seek God's purpose for your life as an individual. Don't you look for somebody else to tell you what you need to do. You look to your heart. You look to the God who's given you life. He knows what you need to do. He will tell you. And not only that, He has the path marked out for you. Got your name on it. Look where God is leading. Follow His direction. Cherish the gift of life. Choose to do that. This is a choice that you're going to make that's going to rebuild your life. Choose to cherish the life. Oh, listen. I know my relationship with Jesus Christ. I know all my faults and failures have pulled me down in this life. But I know this also. I am commanded by God to keep living it. So though I welcome death with open arms, and death brings no fear to me, I'll fight hell to live. I'll fight hell to live. You do the same thing, because it's not just your life. Don't you understand? Our lives are given to us to live for others. We have a purpose. I can go to heaven later. We have a purpose. God will call me home when the time is right. Surgeons won't. Doctors won't. Viruses won't. God will. And until then, live your life. And live it with a smile on your face. And you live it with love in your heart. Not love for self, but love for everyone else. Choose to cherish that gift of love. God says, I love you. I give you life. What are you going to do with the love of life that God has given you? I'm going to cherish that love of life gift. And share it. Psalm 139 verse 16. Oh, precious scripture here. You saw me before I was born. God saw me before I was born. Let me be born anyway. Woo! God knew all the mess up I was going to go through in life. And He sent Jesus for me anyway. He loved me. He saved me. And He says, now, Larry, do life. And enjoy doing it. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. Ah, my life's in the book. Your life is in the book. God recorded it. There is not one pitfall in that path of your life that God doesn't know is there. But why doesn't He keep me from falling into such deep pits? Why don't you listen to Him? Why don't we open our heart and said, Lord, I'm going here today, if it be your will, If it is your will, Father, I will do this, I will do that. If it is your will, Lord, give me direction. Perhaps if we would ask God for direction on the path this day, that He would give you the warning. Oh, by the way, when you get to such and such a place, walk on the right side. Walk on the right side, for there's a pit in the middle. The road is there. It's your life road. God laid it out. He knows every curve. He knows how fast you're going to try to take some of those curves. And all you would have needed was to talk to Him before you got to the curve, before you got to the holes in the road of life. But He says, I want you to pay attention. I want you to rebuild your life now. So you've messed up. So you find yourself in the ditch of life. There you are, right in the ditch. Hey, Larry, you're down there a lot, aren't you? You don't need to be. How about talking to me a little bit more? How about us when we're sharing our life with others, that we share our hurt and our life with Christ first? Lord, look at me. You know me. You created me. I am your child. Now, Father, have mercy on me so that I can go down this pathway of life as I'm rebuilding in my life. I will help others to rebuild. You see, that's the Christian walk. That's the Christian faith. But more than that, that's God's love. And God says, I love you. Oh, we make so many. You know, one of the greatest mistakes we make? I don't live life right now. I want to live it tomorrow. Meaning I won't live life in the moment. God gives you a moment, and we miss the moment. Life must be lived in the moment. Choose to live it right now. This is the only time you have. You don't know whether you're going to be breathing the next second or not. So therefore, this is your moment. Oh, you know, it's going to be great. I just can't wait to retire. Well, I don't know how you're liking it. You've been locked in a home for a while? Everybody telling you to stay in? I want you all to know something. I'm just really figuring out, when people look at you, I am just now catching on. Some people think that I am in the category of a senior citizen. Yeah. You go around and say, you all watch out for all the old people. And I say, I'm trying to watch out after all these old people. And then, of course, you have a wife that'll take that mirror and hold it up in front of your face. And you realize, Lord, this path of life can really get rough. I'm one of the seniors. I am an old person. The inside of me just doesn't acknowledge that yet. The outside of me has overlooked it, obviously. And I see myself as tomorrow with Christ, and I look back and I see myself as young. Well, the only hope I have is looking forward. The same Christ who was there before I was born and knew me before I was woven in my mother's womb, that same Jesus is waiting for me. But I have a life to live first. Listen to Proverbs 27:1. Don't brag about tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to go here. We're going to live there. We're going to do this. Doesn't work that way, folks. Something gets in the way. It's called life, reality. So get real in your Christian walk with Christ. Choose to live in a moment. Don't brag about tomorrow since you don't know what the day will bring. Maybe I don't know what the day will bring. But I can tell you this, and I know this with all my heart. I will fear no more about what tomorrow will bring, because I will live right now in the moment, and I don't have time or the foolishness of living my life in fear. I'll fear no more.
Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control.
You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more.
I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me. Even though I'm in the storm is not in me.
You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more.
Only through Christ can we see a promise that is made to us fulfilled. Human beings make a lot of promises. A lot of those promises are empty promises at the time they're given. Jesus makes promises and keeps those promises. Why am I such afraid? Why is our society so afraid? Let us get back to the foot of the cross. Let us get back to the heart of our existence. Your heartbeat is a gift from Almighty God. Your path and life is a gift from Almighty God. And that gift that God has given you is a gift that He's given for you to live unselfishly. It's not about you. It's about what you can do for others. Choose. It's a choice. You want to rebuild your life? Choose to live unselfishly. Hey, if we got to rebuild everything, let's do it the right way. Live unselfishly. John 15, verse 13. And here is how to measure it. He's talking about love. You want to know how to build love? You want to know how to live unselfishly? Listen, the greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. The greatest love is shown. Or you mean I need to die for someone? You want me to go out there and die for everyone? And I say, well, Jesus has already done that for you. Get me? Think of it this way. If I love someone so much, would I not lay down my own desires so that I can help them with theirs? Would I not lay aside the free time that I think that I want to give time to help someone else? That's what he's talking about. Lay down the life you want. Stop being selfish with your time, with your money, with it. What are you going to do with it? See, the only hope that I have about time only governs us here on planet Earth. See, God does not relate to time as we relate to time. On Earth, there's time period. We have a short time, the Scripture says, to even live the life that God has given us. How about choosing to live it unselfishly? How about giving instead of always wanting or taking? How about sharing and caring instead of pushing away and saying, that's none of my concern? Every life that it comes in contact with your life is your concern. Every life. Our God would not have placed him in your path, in your journey for life. God had given us life and said, live it. So live it. Not in self, but in everyone else. Help. Give. Love. Respect. Oh, but I don't like the way they live. Well, get over it. Suck it up, Marine. Get over it. Maybe people don't like the way you live your life. And see, that's not my calling to tell you how to live. My calling is to tell you who will give you direction in your life. His name is Jesus. I'm going to point you in that direction. I will help you any way physically that I possibly can. But when it comes to the heart, you got to go to the one who gave you that heart. And quit doing this. Quit worrying about whether somebody is going to like what you do. If God has called you to take a stand, you take a stand. When Jesus is standing there on the battle line, don't keep him waiting. You go to that battle line and you stand with Jesus. You're not going to have to fight the battle. It's already won. Jesus just wants us to show up. Well, he gave me a life to show up for him. Larry, I want you to get to the battle line. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, I know. Get to the battle line. And I get to watch Jesus. I have for 75 years. I've got to watch Jesus in my life. Even when I didn't know what life was about, I can look now and I see Jesus was all about. my life and your life individually. Number four, this time in rebuilding your life, choose to rebuild that life of yours in God's security. God's security. We look, it's not social security. It's not the security of a nation. Build your life in God's security. Listen to Psalm 20, verse 7. Some nations boast of their armies and weapons, but we boast in the Lord our God. We boast in the Lord our God. The greatest military ever in history is in the United States of America. And no military, even how great it is, could keep out a virus, an enemy unseen. Oh, we're so big and we're so mighty. And a drought of air and a drop of water, and we die of pneumonia. Oh, we are tough, aren't we? No, we're not. But I know one who is. Therefore, I rebuild my life. You rebuild your life in the security of Almighty God. God says, you let me worry about that. Lord, look at the enemy. What are we going to do? Lord, I'm frozen. I can't do anything for you because of the virus. How about stepping up to the line where Jesus is and watching him? You see, he doesn't even have to wave his hand to heal a nation. We're in his thoughts. You talk about us being in our thoughts and prayers for one another. We're on Jesus' mind continually. Jesus doesn't sleep, not worried about you, but loving you, caring for you. Rebuild your life in God's security. God says, I want to give you peace. Boast if you must, but boast in me of what I can do, will do, and have done for your life. If you think it's great what I've done for your life, the Lord reminds us this, you ain't seen anything yet, because I have so much waiting for you because of my pure love for you. That's God's word. That's God's blessing. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name. Give you thanks, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, Heavenly Father. I ask now that as we go your way, that we go your way, in your direction, in your love, but Father, in your power and your security. We thank you, Father, for giving us life. Now give us that direction with love and mercy that we might live that life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, I want to talk to you about God's stimulus plan for your life. Plead the blood, pray, please wash your hands. God bless you.